Ask your attention a little while again. That's some more scripture. Didn't read them all this morning. 2 Kings 4, 8th verse. It's familiar to all of us. Fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. She constrained him to eat bread. So it was that so oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. The Jews have a tradition that this woman, is called in the Bible a great woman, was Abishag's sister. Abishag is mentioned in the stories, Chronicles of David. You ever try to visualize what it must have been like in a time like that? Somebody that everybody knew could work miracles or give prophecies or do things that nobody else could do. We have spiritual leaders among us. I suppose all of us have known somebody who at one time or another had a profound blessing. I don't know that I've ever known anyone I thought was quite marked like Elisha was, though. So that little maids over in foreign countries would tell her masters, go down there and you can get healed of your leprosy. Scripture said he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was. Elisha was his successor. At any rate, whoever this woman was, she recognized him. And constrained him, the scripture said. That means she urged him. When he came by her place on business, she was urgent with him. Do come in. Stop what you're doing. We heard you were coming today. I baked some bread special for you. Oh, you're not in that big a hurry. You ever had somebody constrain you when you really want to go do something else maybe? But, well, it is lunchtime. So he stopped, went in. After a while, got to be a habit. So apparent that this woman and her husband made him so welcome, it got to be a habit. So whenever he went by, she would stop. He would stop. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. In the 14th verse we read where Elisha asked Gehazi, his servant, what then is to be done for her? Paul, let me read it all. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I don't need anything. Elisha, you're recognized in the court. You're an official. Word from you make a lot of difference. It could change things for a lot of people. And I know that. But I have what I want. I didn't do this to get something from you. That's not the point. This is one of the more generous stories in the Bible. This woman did this just because she wanted to do something for the Lord. That's the whole point of it. And he had to ask Gehazi what more she could want. He said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And Elisha prophesied on her that in a matter of time she'd have a child. And of course she did. The rest of the story is that after the boy grew up to a certain age, he fell ill one day, something wrong with his head, cried out, died. Woman didn't know what to do, but she saddled up an animal, had a servant saddle an animal, and went as quickly as she could to the man of God, as if to say to him, I didn't ask you for anything, but you prophesied on me, and because you did, I had a boy. That boy was my world. I wanted one before, but I didn't want him before like I want him after. It was a terrible passion. Now my heart's broken. And I haven't given up my courage. Elisha saw her coming a great way off and sent the servant down to meet her with a question. Is it well? And she said, yeah. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how I'll manage to go on with my life after this. You know what I'm going to do when I go home and see the places where my boy was, see his clothes hanging in the closet, and see we used to always have an extra plate at the table for him. It won't be there now, but it's well. That's what she said. And, of course, the story proceeds that Elisha came back and prayed for the child, and the Lord healed him, raised him up. So that was a life. Shunammite woman kind of drops out of the picture after that. We don't know very much more about her. But that was a life. And that's the way all of our lives are, isn't it? They have ups and downs in them. And the kind of person we become depends on how we deal with the things we have in life. Now, this woman was a wife of a man. She was a great woman. And so apparently he was a man fixed to do this. Had the means to do it. Made it possible for her to prepare. Build a little room addition on the house. Put a bed and a candlestick and a table and a chair in the room. And she used hers that way. So when life brought her the adventures that it did, this gave her boldness to turn to the Lord. I suppose if old brother Elisha was here this evening, we'd all be glad to see him. I'd enjoy visiting with him. But Elisha isn't really the point. Elisha's been gone 4,000 years. The Lord is still here. The thing that made Elisha what he was the Lord. It wasn't him as a man. It was the Lord. And when this woman did what she did, she was really reaching out to the Lord to be her help in her time of utmost need. It's not in the Bible for us to honor Elisha, folks. I know you know this and think of it too. But it's in the Bible for us. And it is the Lord who passes by us here. I don't think myself that one piece of ground is more holy than another. A tree is just a tree. Piece of concrete is just a piece of concrete. But my life is wrapped up in these things. I've been coming here since, I guess, the first time I was about 10 years old. And I have seen things among the people who worship here I can never forget. Make me what I am. And I know I'm not alone. And the most important of it all was the Lord. It was the Lord. Just a little bunch, not many of us. But the Lord had come and meet with us. It's powerful. You can never forget those things. So this woman, in order to cause the Lord, really the Lord, more than the prophet, just wanted the Lord to know you're welcome here. Just wanted to know I love you. I care what you think. I'm not doing this to get something from you. I just want to be close to you. Have you ever felt that way with the Lord? I just want to be close to you. I want to hear you speak. I don't really need anything, maybe, today. Tomorrow may be different. It was for her. But today, I'm doing this because I want your blessing. I want to know where you are. Life is short. Eternity's coming. Time gets by so fast. You commanded it in your word. You set it out in the example of your people. That we are to meet together. Public worship service is a Bible commandment. It's not an option. It's a Bible commandment. It is what the Lord practiced in carrying out His ministry. It's what He instructed His disciples to carry out. Public worship service. Now think about us. Think about us. I've been praying about this one too. Lord, help us this afternoon. We don't have a prophet like that. If you built a room addition on the back of your house and put a bed and a table and a candlestick in it and a chair, probably nobody'd come by on his way to the king's palace and stay there. But what we're trying to entertain is the Lord. And the sacrifices of the Lord are a broken and a contrite spirit, a humble spirit. So my little burden this afternoon is, Lord, help us prepare a place for you to come. When you pass by us, turn in and stay with us. Break bread with us. We don't want you walking by us, Lord. I know you've got somewhere else to go. I know you don't need what I have to give you. But I want you. Just the table's brighter when you're sitting down there with me. Come and spend a night at my house, Lord. You ever felt that way? So I'm thinking about us. And the devil hates that. And he wants to stop it. And he wars against our little congregation. He would like to divide us from one another. Some of us, he's trying to slip the world in on some of us. Some of us, he's trying to tempt into getting lean in our souls, not take as much time or carefulness as we should to put his way first. I can feel in my spirit, in my prayers, the attacks of the enemy against us, trying to hurt us in those kind of ways. Times like this are the times when we build the barriers against the enemy of our souls. It's a time, I know there's just a few of us, but it's a time when we can come with our few, even in an afternoon service, and have a special time to tell the Lord, here is the room that I want to make for you. Here is the bed, the table, the candlestick that I want to set for you. Something more, maybe, than we've done before. You know, we often have services to testify to one another of experiences we've had and what the Lord has done for us. Have you had one where we make our purpose again, what I want to do for you? So when you come by, you'll stop here and meet with me. It is these kind of things that make life meaningful. When times are hard, when somebody is critically sick, when our urgency for the Lord is very great, little things matter. Times when He's dealt with us and nobody knew anything about it. Maybe we responded, but time went by and we got less acute to it than we were before. The Lord hasn't changed His mind. Little conflicts, little bad feelings toward each other. They create distrust. They damage unity. Old devil's always trying to slip them in somewhere, isn't he? We're all different. We all have different needs and we have different ways of expressing ourselves. One of the things that makes us able to do what we do is love and kindness and tolerance and forbearance. And one of the ways we could make a little place for the Lord to dwell. It's not really the prophet, it's the Lord. To make a place for him to dwell is renewing the pledge and the covenant with one another. One of our songs says, I'll stand by your side and defend you in this battle you're facing today. We need each other. We need each other. We don't have anyone among us that we can afford to lose. We need each other. We don't want to be at variance with one another. I don't want to be where, when your name is called, something negative in my mind about you, or you, me, or any of us toward the other. The Lord wants us to be clear and pure and innocent, filled with love and understanding, so that when, well, I'll speak precisely. I'm very thankful for what the Lord's done for Cheryl, our niece. She doesn't know what to do with what her affliction is. She is questing to find where the Lord is in it all. Our prayers and our closeness provide a beacon light and a help. And I think of the others, Sister Lori, and the long time that she has suffered with her affliction. She looks to us for our prayers. It's so important that we have a house, a little room where the Lord turns in to meet with us. And Sister Robin is private in a lot of ways about her battle, but it's very real to her. And she is looking to the Lord and to us, her brothers and sisters. And Brother Bill, he hasn't said much either. We had a visit with him the other day. We agreed to spend some time fasting and praying. That was just before this thing that Sister Leslie Kincaid has sent around. So I plan to do that as part of it. What Brother Bill has got could be very minor, or it could take his life. And those of you who saw what happened with Brother Sam Barton, Brother Murphy Allen, you know that's not a light thing. We need the Lord, folks. You know it too. We depend on Him every day. This is how we bring Him. Just like this Shunammite woman did. It's a way. It's why we come to worship services. It's not entertainment. Of course it's not. It is to make our pledge and our covenant. Look upon Zion, the scripture said, the city of our solemnities. What he meant by solemnities is the place of our solemn vows, our solemn pledges to one another, to serve the Lord faithfully to the end, to give him an open, free hand, whatever he puts his hand on that he shows us we need to change, I'll be willing to change that. I give it to you, whatever it is. And a commitment to one another. As if our hearts would say to each other, I love you. Your burden is my burden. There's a song we sing sometimes that says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way. Congregations that have existed for a long time sometimes are affected by things that happened years ago in the past. There is a place to win victory over all the hurt and wound and disappointment, to feel the presence of the Lord, to have strong assurance in the face of it all. Do you understand what I'm trying to say today? The Lord wants us to build our house, so that He'll turn in and meet with us. So we're confident, for instance, when we come to our worship service, there will be power there. There will be deliverance. There will be victory. We sing it in our songs. We pray it in our prayers. We want the actual living presence of the prophet, or really of the Savior Himself, there with us, to meet with us. So I suggest the rest of this service, time of covenant, commitment to the Lord, to one another, I'm sorry, I don't know how to say it any better than that. Whatever it takes to have the Lord meet with us, prepare to do it anytime, all the time. Most important thing to have in our lives, service to the Master. I love you. I'm sorry I don't serve you better than I do. That's a duty. And I want to be so that when we're in our time of greatest need, He'll hear us when we call. Thank you for the courtesy of attention. Amen.